you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Have you followed the proper steps to return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls? Well, that's the topic we're going to be taking a look at on this Monday, May the 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. And we can also take phone calls on this important subject at 821-0850 in the St. Louis area, toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. I know that most of you listening to me read English translations of the Bible, but it is most important to belong to a congregation where the pastor, where he knows the Greek and the Hebrew. Because in my opinion, English translations are not very good. What do you mean English translations are not very good? Well, if you've ever done a study of a foreign language, you will quickly find out that there are not exact words to translate from one language to another language. And particularly when you get to the Greek and the Hebrew, there are forms of the verbs for which we have nothing in English that are identical. And so a lot of times, you need to use a lot more words in the English to describe what you're talking about in the Greek. Like, for example, in the Greek, there's two words for love, agape and phileo. Now, phileo is just brotherly love. There's another word for love, eros, and it refers to real self-centered love. It's never found in the Bible. But when it says, for God so loved the world, it's a big difference as to whether or not the writer, John, uses phileo or agape. If he uses phileo, then God just loves the world insofar as they are his brothers, that you're related to him. But agape means that he has a love towards you that is undeserving, and that there's nothing in it for God to love you, but everything in it for you. It's a self-sacrificial love. Well, thankfully, John 3:16 uses agape. So you can't tell that from the English. That's why English concordances, you won't believe when you look up, say, a certain word, like the word law, there are 10 different kinds of law. And it's only the context, which is king, that will make the difference. Now, today we have a real problem in our verse, and it is from 1 Peter chapter 2, which is the epistle reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is this coming Sunday. It reads, "For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Now, this is the ESV translation, and it certainly gives the impression that you are the one who has done the returning. You have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It's kind of interesting to kind of go through the various translations. The New International Version says, "But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls," which even gives more of your returning action to yourself. The New Living Translation, "But now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls." So this definitely gives the impression that this is an action that you have done. The New American Standard, "But now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." I like the King James best. "For you are as a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Do you notice that it's not you doing the action, but it's something that's happening to you? And that would mean that the verb returned isn't an active, but a passive. We'll look at that in a moment. The NET Bible, "But now you have turned back to the shepherd and guardian of your soul." Well, that definitely gives the impression that this is something you are doing. The God's Word translation, listen to this one. You were like lost sheep. Now you have come back to the shepherd and bishop of your lives. It's kind of like a teenager runs away from home and now comes back to the family. Well, who did that? Obviously, the teenager. Now, the Jubilee Bible is really interesting. This is the 2000 version. You were as sheep that had gone astray, but are now converted unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now, how do they get that? Well, that actually is a pretty good translation, because we need to look at this particular word, are now returned. First of all, is it an active verb or is it a passive verb? And what we find out is that it is called an aorist passive. Now, that means this is not something you are doing. It is something that is done to you. You don't do the returning. Instead, someone returns you. And what does it mean to be an aorist? Well, there's one of those tenses for which we have nothing equivalent in the English. But what it means often, it's a single action. And the action is complete. In other words, this is something that did happen. And there's another way of looking at this verb. Is it a transitive or an intransitive? It is a transitive. Now, let me just explain. You don't have to know what that means. It means that this is something that has caused you to return. It actually is best translated as to bring back. Now, this is really critical, that returning to God is not something the person decides to do. So it is a waste of time to give an unbeliever the five steps that he needs to follow in order to return to God. Now, believe it or not, there are four spiritual laws. Bill Bright invented them. First of all, know you're a sinner. Second, repent of your sin. Third, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. And then fourth, and this is the clincher, invite him into your heart. That's how you return, that you invite him back into your heart. Just stop and think how ridiculous this is. You already believe in Jesus Christ according to law number three. Well, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So why are you inviting Christ into your heart when he's already there? It is clear that he is already there because you believe in him. But all other forms of procedures of what you need to do is really sad. Because what you're ending up doing is you're talking about the two different kinds of religions in the world. The one, you need to do something. Obey the law, pray a lot, worship a lot, suffer a lot, contribute a lot. I mean, every religion has its own set of things you need to do in order to return to the true God. But in Christianity, you can't return to the true God. He has you return to him. Now, there are so many Bible verses, because remember, Scripture means Scripture interprets Scripture. Let's take a look at Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Now, this is a psalm that's obviously asking God to seek you out, because unless he seeks you out, you will not be able to return. God is the one who brings you back. I mean, do you need anything more than Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep? How did the lost sheep return home? Did he see the shepherd coming and run up to him and jump up on his shoulders and says, okay, I've decided, take me home? No. The shepherd picked him up, put him on his shoulders. This is a 100-pound sheep, by the way. No shepherd would do this in the wilderness. And then he returns the lost sheep to him. This is really quite amazing. There is one other passage that I think is really quite interesting. It's found in the book of Ezekiel. And it's a little lengthy, but I'm still going to go through it because I'm going to show you that returning to the Lord is not something you do. It's something that he does. Ezekiel 34, and we're starting with verse 5. He's talking about his people. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. You see, this ties back into the psalm we just read, Psalm 119, that the only way you get to return to God is God seeks you and searches. Now, what happened to the shepherds that God had put over these sheep? Well, they're false shepherds. And he addresses them beginning in verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I feel this happens today, particularly just listen to evangelical radio a lot of times or the prosperity gospel. And here are these so-called pastors who are feeding themselves. They have rich houses and rich cars, and they have the best of food. And of course, their song and dance is, that can be yours also if you only have the right faith. But it's not faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It's a kind of faith that you can be sure that you will be the one who will be taken care of. So he says, hear the word of the Lord, you shepherds. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding of the sheep. See, that does happen. The Glass Cathedral, for example, Schuller. You know, with his positive thinking, God put a stop to that. The building is now owned by the Roman Catholic Church because the finances just didn't come in. And we find this with a lot of these mega churches. People get excited because there seems to be such a clear promise of wealth and health, and then before long, things start falling apart. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue the sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them. Now, did you hear that? I will rescue the sheep. And then beginning with verse 11, we're reading Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. Okay. So here's the shepherd, and this falls right in line with Luke 15. The shepherd goes out and finds the sheep. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. Now, we're getting near to the verse that I think is so good. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Now, here comes verse 16. And I truly believe verse 16 of Ezekiel 34 needs to be read in light of 1 Peter 2:25. How have we been turned back? Is it something we've done, or is it something God has done? Here it is, verse 16. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Wow. What we have here is a clear teaching of the Christian church, and this is found in the Old Testament, backed up by the New Testament, Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep, that God is the one who's going to be returning you. And so, though most of the English translations allow for the possibility that you do the returning, you make a decision, you return to God, the actual Greek, which is an aorist passive, as we told you, is something that happens to you. It's not an active. In other words, it's not something that you do. Yesterday, we were with some of our grandchildren, and one needed to be fed. Now, the active would be, I feed myself. But the passive is, I am fed. And there's no way, have you ever realized this? I mean, evolution, if human beings are the highest level in the evolutionary scale, how come their babies will die if you don't take care of them for a lot of months? That's not true about crocodiles. Crocodiles, they lay eggs, the eggs hatch, and the kids are on their own. I mean, there's a lot of species where there is no nurturing on the part of the parents. Now, with some there are, like birds, where they have to bring them food into the nest all the time. But, you know, I've often wondered this, if human beings are the highest level, how come human being babies cannot take care of themselves? It's impossible. They will die. So this shows the whole evolutionary theory is worse than a theory. It's a myth. And anybody who believes that just doesn't have common sense, just taking a look at how species are so complicated. And there are so many species that there's nothing below them that could have led to them. But that's another subject. You really want to get some good stuff, listen on Fridays at 8:45 here on KFUO. And Pastor Worth always has some very interesting things to say about creationism versus evolution. But right now, we're just simply making the point that not only 1 Peter 2:25 really has to be translated, and that's why I like this one translation, and you were converted. That really puts the understanding of return properly in place, because this conversion took place, how? By God bringing you into a right relationship with Him. And that's just tremendous. By the way, if you got a phone and you want to phone me about this in the St. Louis area, it's 314-821-0850. Or toll free 1-800-730-2727. For example, let's say there's a college student and he likes to room in the dormitory and his parents live in the same city. But pretty soon the expense gets so much that the parents come to him and say, look, why don't you just come back home and you'll save all that money? And somebody asks him, well, what did you do? And he'll say, I returned home. Now, you see, if you look at the context, he was brought back home by the parents. It was their invitation. They're the ones that returned him home. But he'll still say, I returned home. So even in the English sometimes, the context has to be understood in order for you to know whether what was that a decision on your part or was it a decision of your parents. Now, he may have to agree to that decision, but that's what believers do. Once God has returned us to the overseer of our souls, then we begin to understand that this is something that we love and we agree with, and therefore we have no problem with that. And by the way, in a lot of churches, and I'll also be preaching on this, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, as well as Mother's Day. But the verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have been returned would be a better translation, or have been converted to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now, the word overseer, have you ever heard of the church, the Episcopalian church? Yes. Well, that comes from the Greek word episkopos, which means overseer or bishop. And that's the word used here, that the bishop of your souls, in fact, one translation even uses that, you have been returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, during your third year at the seminary, you're often sent out on an internship, or what we call a vicarage. Well, this particular vicarage, a lot of times you refer to the person that you're under there as the bishop, not so much as a pastor. So we even use the word there, he's the head of the vicar. So the vicar does not what he wants, but what the bishop tells him, what shut-ins to see, what hospital calls to make, what sermons to preach, what Bible studies to conduct, and so forth. And Jesus is the grand overseer or bishop. In fact, even with the word shepherd, pastors are not often referred to as the shepherds, but the under-shepherds of the church, because there's only one shepherd, and that's none other than Jesus Christ. So let's get back to the main point that we started all this with. How do we tell people to return to the Lord? Well, the answer is we don't. That's right. The way a person is converted or returned to the Lord is not by giving them insights as to the procedures they need to follow in order to get back to the Lord, because they hate the Lord. I'm talking here about unbelievers. So how do you get back to the Lord? By talking about how the Lord came and sought them. How the Lord was the one who died on the cross for them. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I began with, for you were like sheep going astray. Listen to verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him, that's God the Father, who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Wow. That really makes the point. As we indicated, you can call me at St. Louis, 821-0850, or toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. And we've got somebody on the line here, just waiting for them to come up. Okay, let's... hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Bill Thomas from Peavey, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning. How can I help you?
Okay. Just a quick, brief thing is that in our Sunday morning worship, when we pray, we should pray for the bringing back of the lost sheep, and we could encourage ourselves to pray one another, pray quietly by ourselves for those that we know need to be brought back.
Now, are these particularly people who were once members of the congregation and fallen away?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. That's a very, very good point. And we know that happens. Peter, for example, remember Jesus at one time said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But then, of course, he repented of his denial of Jesus three times, and he was brought back. So there's no doubt a person can fall and be brought back, and it's very good to pray for them. But notice once more who's bringing them back.
That's right. We pray that they be brought back. We don't pray that we bring them back.
Yes. Now, God may use you in speaking the words. We had a rule in our church. Anytime somebody was excommunicated, 3 months later, we had to have a visit from the pastor and the elders because the goal was to bring them back.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. I sure thank you for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Yes, that's a good insight that he has there, that we should be praying to God to bring people back into the right relationship with him. And so here's a 1 Peter 2:25 that can give the impression that you're the one who returns by some kind of decision or by following some kind of procedure. That is inaccurate. And so the original Greek, as well as the context of Luke 15, the psalm that we took a look at, 119, 176, and Ezekiel 34, makes it clear that Jesus is the shepherd who returns you to the fold. Tomorrow, we're going to have with us Pastor Mark Smith taking a look at the hymn for this Sunday, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And we do that because there's some phrases every now and then that children may not understand, and we encourage you to go over it with them. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.